The makers of this movie spent more than 2 years on the road with Ozzy Osbourne. Nearly everyone survived. A sea of fans waving their hands and punching the air at a concert. Buenos Aires, Argentina. Backstage, Ozzy Osbourne, a musician in his 60s with long dark brown hair past his shoulders, is standing before a makeshift dressing table consisting of a triptych mirror lit up by light bulbs on a collapsible table. His trademark round sunglasses are nearby as are framed family photos. He applies pale makeup and goes through a 40-minute warm-up routine, 5 minutes on a treadmill, 25 minutes with a vocal tape, 5 minutes with Tony, followed by 5 minutes stretching. While the excitable crowd make rock gestures with their hands, Ozzy does some skipping backstage. Packs that up and makes his way towards the stage, shepherded by a burly minder. A wave of expectation ripples through the stadium crowd as Ozzy's entrance music plays. He walks on stage and hugs his band members. They're hidden behind a semi-transparent curtain that has ornate crosses projected onto it. Giant logo in pale blue light rotates across the curtain, and as the music climaxes, the band signal for the curtain to fall, revealing them to their adoring fans. God bless Ozzy Osbourne. Images of Ozzy in a variety of rock guises, then a headline reading Sabbath Roar On, and their album Paranoid tops the Billboard charts.
Rock and roll's definitive crazy person.
Photos of him with his manic grimace.
Ozzy Osbourne, who is known for biting the heads off of bats.
Ozzy on stage in a torn black outfit.
Hey, he's twisted, but he's all right, man.
Another headline, Ozzy Osbourne arrested for public drunkenness.
There's another scientific mystery that's stumping scientists. How is Ozzy Osbourne still alive after decades of drugs and alcohol?
The day I nearly killed my wife.
Everyone goes through changes, looking to find a truth. Don't look at me for answers, don't ask me, I don't know.
In a montage of photos, Ozzy met the Queen. Las Vegas, Nevada. Ozzy's surprise 60th birthday party. Wife Sharon and daughter Kelly are with him as he enters a hotel's grand dining hall and exclaims, "Oh, fuck off," when friends and loved ones greet him with a warm round of applause. "You fucking assholes," is his next comment. He greets a photographer, then puts his hands on his hips and says, "This is unbelievable." Later, Ozzy hugs Black Sabbath's drummer. Bill Ward.
Good to see you. It's good to see you.
You look great.
I do.
You look great.
Smile. Come on. Ozzy, smile. It's your birthday. It's your family.
I don't feel like fucking smiling. Shut the fuck up.
Go on, smile. It's your birthday. There we go.
Ozzy forces a smile, then says, "It's hard work being 60.
Looking back, I should have died 1,000 times, but I never did.
I never thought I'd make it to fucking 40.
Because by 12 o'clock in the old days, I'd have powder up my nose, fucking shit in my veins and all kinds of stuff.
Right, one, two, three. Nice smile, ladies. Come with your brother.
There's like one or two ways to get in this world, but there's so many fucked up ways to go out. Once you're dead, you're gone. And I'm just a very fortunate man to be still here talking to you about my life.
Lewis and Jessica, Ozzy's first children.
Lewis, smile. I'm smiling.
I've had a crazy life. And it ain't over yet.
The lights are dimmed as Ozzy gathers around the birthday cake with his sisters. The photographer ushers Kelly into shot as well. Camera flashes light up the rectangular cake that has an image of Ozzy as a kid, intricately framed with gold icing. Ozzy takes his time blowing out the candles. That photo of Ozzy as a child in a shirt and V-neck jumper.
I was born John Michael Osborne, December 3rd, 1948. I was raised in Aston, a working-class suburb of Birmingham, England. A lot of the city was destroyed by the Germans in World War II.
I used to play on a bum building site, thinking it was the name of a place that you go and play, not realising it was a building that had been bombed in the war, you know.
Footage of kids playing on rubble, then Ozzy studying childhood photos.
It's my grandma, my mother, and Gillian, my sister. My three sisters. My sister Jean, my sister Iris, and my sister Gillian.
We're a working class family. There wasn't a lot of money about. We lived in a small terraced house. Six children had to share the same bedroom. Because we were the poorest kids of the street, there's no doubt about it.
I didn't come from fucking royalty. I didn't come from a middle class or upper class background. Where I came from was like a very bottom end of the scale, you know.
We were all from the same area in Birmingham in England. It's very much a working class area. I don't think any of us had like hot water or indoor toilets or things like that.
My mother and father.
Ozzy's chewing gum as he looks at the photo.
He was a good guy. He was, you know, he worked hard all his life, you know. Would never miss a day from work. If he ever missed a day off, you knew he was fucked. He used to work nights at a factory.
John used to go out and have a drink, get in fights, and that was it. From what I saw of John, he was always in and out of trouble. You know, Dad was always telling him off. And one day, Dad says he'll either get killed or, he'll die one way or the other. You know what I mean?
Yeah, a lot of the kids turned to crime, and I did for a time. But I wasn't really good at it, you know. I didn't want to do it, really.
Ozzy picks up a document.
John Michael Osborne. Age 18, break and enter to the shop of Clara Sharp and steal two coats, 20 pairs of stockings, fine 20 quid.
It's a long story short, the police come round, says to Mr. Osborne, does John Osborne live here? And our dad says, there he is, take him.
I got locked up in Winston Green prison for about 6 weeks. When I eventually got out of prison, life still felt hopeless for me. I'd let my family down for being arrested. I had no idea what I wanted to do.
Really, there were about three or four choices when we were teenagers. One was we would either probably go to prison or go in the factories or go in the army.
I remember being in a factory and one guy, I'd say to you, how long have you been working here? And he'd go, oh, 35 years this year and I'm retiring and I get a gold watch. And I thought, fucking gold watch. 35 years of your life have been in this fucking factory. And I just couldn't handle it, you know. I had job after job after job. I could never hold the job down. I didn't want to. I used to think, fuck this. It's just me for the rest of my life.
John wanted things which he couldn't have. There was something inside him that wanted to get out.
Nothing really happened to me in my life until the Beatles happened. Then it was like someone had turned the world on for me. They played She Loves You on the radio, and I remember thinking to myself, fucking hell, this is incredible.
From that moment on, when I first said She Loves You, I knew I wanted to be a rock star for the rest of my life.
Santiago, Chile. Clad in black, Ozzy claps while on stage. And the other band members mosh along with thousands in the crowd. Security at the front are kept busy by over-exuberant fans. After the show, Ozzy's minder leads him backstage, while another man drapes a black hooded cloak over him. Crew applaud him as he's hurried out of the venue by torchlight and straight into an idling tour bus. Ozzy's hotel room, 1:15 a.m. He shuffles through in jeans and a long-sleeved top.
There's adrenaline from the gig.
Shaking hands, then on a phone.
Hello, Sharon, who are you? Just tell her this gig was phenomenal. So in the crowd, fucking unbelievable. It's fucking indescribable. It's like a divine experience, you know. All right, I'll call back. I'll pick you later. Bye.
I'm lucky. I'm 60 years of age. I'm still traveling all over the world. I'm still having gigs, doing gigs, and still people still want to see me.
Halifax, Nova Scotia.
It's Ozzy night, man. Night of the living dead.
I've been fucking listening to him since I was 9, 10. Yeah, man. I got those ones. I got that one. And I got that one. A big Black Sabbath cross on my leg.
Number one Ozzy fan. I've sent Black Sabbath days. Check this out.
A t-shirt with Ozzy fucking Osbourne on it.
Fucking love him, man.
Ozzy's minder leads him backstage past fans. Later, the rocker has his photo taken with a girl in a wheelchair and then a young lad. Now, he's on the phone.
I remember when I was a fan of the Beatles and I had my fantasies. And if it's going to make somebody's day a little bit better to say, wow, I met Ozzy Osbourne today. I mean, that's my job, you know.
Can you get this, please?
Sure.
Just right down there.
Sharon goes to me, you get back there and sign that fucking autograph. I go, what do you mean, my darling? And she says, well, one day you're going to be, if they don't ask you for your autograph, that's when we got a problem.
Let's check out my shirt. And I figure you can't fuck it up no more in President Bush. Wow. I have something for you. Here's your own.
Thank you. I'll go down the road. Now, if I get recognised, I get pissed off. But at the same time, if I don't get recognised, I get pissed off. People recognise me for a lot of years and for a lot of different reasons. And I just want my audience to know that I have not abandoned to become a fucking the weatherman.
Ozzy sitting at a counter beside windows that have their blinds down, signing countless bits of merchandise and memorabilia.
What are any signatures you've signed?
When I do croak.
Ozzy responds, when I do croak, they'll give mine free with fucking tampons or something. The Sabbath Years. The band bathed in dim red light.
Black masses, in the field the body's burning.
turning. Evil minds and plot destruction. Sorcerer of death's construction. Say, where are you going? Do the war beast people know?
Sabbath was monumental, a huge influence on Metallica.
Robert Trujillo, Metallica.
Black Sabbath was a big deal for me. Man, we worshipped those records.
Henry Rollins.
They were like pioneers on so many levels, you know, doing new things with rhythm and doing new things with musical interaction.
John Frusciante, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I mean, listening to it now, it doesn't sound that crazy at all, you know, but then it was quite sort of off the wall.
Sir Paul McCartney. Tommy Lee, Motley Crue.
My very first memory of Black Sabbath, I just remember hearing the I was like, oh my God, this is insane.
Bill Ward, Black Sabbath.
Before Black Sabbath, I was in a band with Tony Iommi and Geezer. What was next needed really was a singer.
So we went to this music shop in Birmingham where all the musicians used to hang out.
As he had put this little calling card in a music shop called Jones and Crossland, and he'd written, Ozzy Zig needs a gig.
First time I ever met Ozzy was at school. He was like, for want of a better word, a nuisance. And so when Bill and I walked up to Ozzy's door, I saw him in the back room walking in. And I said to Bill, forget it. I just thought, this is going to be a joke.
Ozzy wrote the magic words, has his own PA, because nobody could afford PAs back then. If he sang and had a PA, he got the job. We didn't even have to hear him.
Although money was very scarce in the household, I asked my father to buy me a PA system.
It was the best gift I ever had, because had he not got that PA for me, I don't think I'd ever got a gig, you know.
The first time we got together, went down great, and no, it was good.
In the early days, it was just fucking guys having a blast, you know.
The young Black Sabbath.
You know, if we'd never have made anything of ourselves, it was a good time for me just to be around a bunch of guys with fuck all to lose and everything to gain. It was great. We used to rehearse across the street from a movie theatre. And I think it was Tony who said, isn't that weird that people go to film movies to get scary? Why don't we start doing scary music?
A stormy sky over an eerie red-tinged house gives way to Ozzy and the band.
What is this that's still before me? Figure in black, which points at me.
And that's how the beginnings of Sabbath started.
When we used to play that song live in the early days, kids would just fucking scream and run out.
We are running 'cause they're scared.
And we started getting invites to fucking black masses and fucking Highgate fucking cemetery at fucking 12 o'clock. And we were like, is this for real, you know? We never thought it was real.
in life we know about the dark side and the light side, the good side and the bad side. And I think that's probably the attraction, is that it hadn't been dealt with till the Black Sabbath started dealing with it. Then people go, oh yeah, this is great, you know, well, cool. It's like the attraction of Dracula and vampires. It's a rich source for exploration, I would think.
What happened with Sabbath? Look, for instance, Black Sabbath 1, the first album, we recorded that in 12 hours, believe it or not. The whole thing was done in 12 hours on an 8-track machine in a little backstreet studio in London. It cost like 10 bucks to make or something. It was one of the biggest selling albums I ever did.
1970.
The manager comes up to me and he goes,
your album's going in the chart next week at number 17. I says, fuck off, you're joking, you're winding me up. No.
The Vertigo album charting at 14.
When I got my first record royalty advance in money, I got £105, which is about $220. I went and bought myself some shoes and some socks, some trousers and a bottle of Brut cologne, which I like to smell. I always like to smell nice. I used to stink. Coming along from having nothing, literally fucking zero, no socks on my feet, walking around in fucking open sandals in the winter, that's from that to a pair of fucking socks and shoes. It's big time, you know.
1970.
Then the next one, Paranoid, comes out.
The song Paranoid went up the English charts. The album went straight at number one in England. It's like, fucking hell, what's up? That was our second album, we got a number one album. He's like, fucking hell, man. The real rock star vibe, you know, hit us.
The band on a boat, and then action performance photos and crowds outside sold-out venues. In one photo, the band have been presented with gold discs. In another, Ozzy's posing by a luxury car, and then he's naked on stage.
This is the first one I ever got. Called this from, it's fucking, spelt my name, O-S-S-I-E, which is fucking great. But those early days were fucking fantastic. We all had a laugh, we'd fuck around, we'd fucking smoke dope, drink beer, you know.
Going around with him was a total adventure. We never knew what was going to happen.
Ozzy would often walk into a room naked.
In the early days, he was absolute bedlam.
Me and us were kind of like a wrecking crew in the hotel room, so we'd dismantle the bathroom completely, just have big sledgehammers and toilet sink, all gone, put it outside, everything goes outside.
I remember I got a picture early on of him setting fire to Bill Ward's beard. Start, and Ozzy would be laughing and Bill would just sit there.
Growing up, Ozzy was a real prankster, but especially in his 20s, with Sabbath, he was like the band clown. He was like, got everyone going, laughing. He did that because that was his shield. That protected his insecurities. Ozzy had low self-worth. He always considered himself less than. That's how, you know, he survived everything, was just being the prankster.
Well, what do you do to relax?
Ozzy replies, smoke marijuana.
You were joking when you said that, of course.
Yeah, right.
With the success of the albums came more money, which enabled us to buy a better class of drug, basically, which is basically what we were doing it for at the time. Cocaine, acid and stuff like that.
She's a good old cocaine shot. We'd all fucked up on it. If you look at the face, when you're too cocaine, you just lose all expression in your face. Yeah.
1971, Master of Reality, and then in 72, Volume 4.
We did the album Volume 4, and we'd been in Los Angeles recording that for about 3 months. We used to have it in cereal boxes of cocaine delivered to the house. We just tip it into this big bowl, and sort of a bit like Scarface kind of thing.
For a while, we used LSD before we played, and so we would go on stage, you know, tripping.
California Jam, 1974, playing to a vast sea of people in an open-air concert. Ozzy rocks out center stage on air guitar before pulling his jacket off and throwing it into the crowd.
I was young, I had money, I had cars, I had fucking house. I was fucking king of the world at fucking 23.
Black and white photo of a young Ozzy with his arm around a dark-haired woman.
Shortly after I became successful with Black Sabbath, I met Thelma in a nightclub. Then we got married and we had two children, Jessica and Lewis.
Lewis and Jessica, Ozzy's first children.
And this is a picture of my parents.
That was actually at the Hilton Hotel in Las Vegas.
Mia Osborne, Ozzy's granddaughter, is with them.
Some lovely ones. Him looking very young and handsome and sultry. These are nice ones. Before we had our house decorated, so this was to be very early 1972. Got a Black Sabbath sticker on the telephone.
My recollection from my childhood with Dad is that he'd be away for very long periods of time, and there would always be a period of adjustment when he came home, and then it would get to normality, and then he'd go again. So it was very erratic childhood with Dad.
This is Dad. Dad got into the local newspaper for the prize green beans that he'd grown.
That's a nice picture of the house and of our vegetable garden.
He was always a very big social drinker, so the pubs in the villages where we all grew up were a very big part of the social scene, so he would go to the pub.
Lewis and Jessica perching on Ozzy's knees.
The only thing in English countryside, really, at that back then, was pubs. So I'd go, oh, there's a pub there. The house is just down the road. I'm going to drive in. If I wanted to, I can walk to the pub and back. My idea of going for a drink was to go to a pub, get as much poured down my neck as I could, and stumble out. That was my idea of a drink.
When he was around and he wasn't pissed, he was a great father. But, you know, that was kind of seldom, really. I just have a lot of memories of him being drunk. Fucking just random shit. You know, fucking driving cars across fields and crashing them in the middle of the night and stuff like that. It's not good for family life, really, you know.
When you drink alcohol and someone goes, Dad, help me do this math, you go, what the fuck are you even bothering me for? You know, it just gets a big, ugly scene, but that's the way your life becomes.
I don't remember being put to bed or bathed or that kind of thing by Dad. I wouldn't say he was there for us, no. Never on a sports day, a school trip, a parents' evening. He wasn't like that, no.
It just pissed me off that Dad never remembered my birthday. Just a fucking phone call just to say happy birthday, Lou. You know, just make me happy. That's all I wanted, but he just, you know, couldn't remember that.
When was Jessica born?
Sorry?
When was Jess born?
I think it was 71, 72. Maybe before, I don't remember, I don't really know. I'll find out for him.
Ozzy chews gum and thinks.
Do you think he was a good parent?
No.
I did the best I could in the situation at home. I was fucking 20 fucking two, and I had the... I mean, I was... people knew who I was. I could drive the fucking Mercedes, fly on Concorde to New York. Fucking first class thing, stay at a nice hotel. You know, I mean, I was a rock star. You know, and when you become a successful rock star, They don't give you a handbook and say, you should learn these rules, this is what you got to stick by. It's the fucking world, you know. You're young, you got money, you're successful, chicks want to be seen with you. You know, it's what more can you say, you know?
Wellington, New Zealand. Crew mill about in an empty arena with a massive stage at the far end. Aussies backstage in a dressing room, pacing. He complains, my lungs are, I don't know what the fuck it is. They're tightened up tight.
It's just probably stress or anxiety.
I don't know. I'm not on management. I feel okay.
Well, you don't. You told me before that you get a bit wound up at the gigs.
No, but the last time was great. I mean, it's where I did it, you know. Yeah. I'm not wound up at all.
Ozzy wanders out.
Okay there, Ozzy, here we go. Now give me mum, M-U-H-M.
Ozzy's pre-concert vocal exercise tape.
Now we're going to give it the gee, 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 slightly hooty. And the long one and say, now Oz, give me a plain old ooh and the same thing. Say, okay, you're gonna give me a chance to rest for a little bit, and then we'll start again.
I love my job, you know, and I'm very fucking passionate about it. When I can't give it a good show, I get pissed off about it, you know. When I can't do my job, I suffer from terminal perfectionism. I'm just gonna flip-flop boggle a moment, suicide delusion. Crazy train, and leave it as the old said.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get, we can do Fire in the Sky, because it's wrong for you to sing.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? It's just
I'll know when I get there, you know, if I can.
Exactly, you know. Yeah,
but I'm not gonna fucking do all this shit, Iron Man.
I mean, we're gonna go over everything. We'll be here till fucking midnight going over all this shit. We got here a little while ago. We just keep going till we get it right, Dad.
Alright.
Zach Wilde, Ozzy's guitarist. During the band sound check, Ozzy signals for more foldback.
Every night I'm great, and not every night I'm half great. Sometimes I'm terrible. My voice goes out like everybody else's, but the show goes on.
Ozzy punches the air at the end of the practice. Then Zach comes over and says, Ozzy, you know what I'm saying. That high, that's what I'm saying. Those notes.
If I can't get it to it, I get it.
You were singing that in 91.
Fuck you, I'm deaf. Next year, I'll be like a fucking braille, man.
Ozzy's hotel room, 1:50 a.m. After dropping something on the floor and sighing heavily, he says, fucking jet lag knocks me about. Then slumps on the bed and reaches for a TV remote. Wife Sharon joins him.
Hey, yeah.
She climbs on the bed beside him, and he complains, I don't feel good. I'm weak.
I'm so tired, that's why.
I first met Ozzy when Black Sabbath asked if my father was interested in managing them. Black Sabbath was a phenomenon. It just instantly happened. And for guys that just came from a poor background to suddenly money everywhere being thrown at them, they were really out of their comfort zone, those guys. They really were. When you think, you know, they were all so young, terribly young.
A headline, Black Sabbath, a band of our time, Bill Ward.
It towards the late 70s.
We were very high. There was a lot of cocaine. I know I was using
cocaine regularly on a daily basis.
I mean, we're doing it every day, like 24 hours a day, practically. So I didn't realise the time. All the management was interested was ripping as much money off us as they possibly could.
I mean, Sabbath was royally fucking ripped off. Royally ripped off.
I mean, we didn't know anything about royalties or... I didn't even know you got royalties for writing the music.
Circa about 1976, I produced this report, quite a long report, basically saying how their money, you know, wasn't quite as they thought it was. For example, they all had houses, but they didn't own them.
We had all these million platinum-selling albums and everything, and nothing to show for it, no money. We were all out of our brains on dope. So the band was just, like, split anyway. It had been broken, really.
Hello, welcome to Top of the Pops, and right now here's a rundown of the brand new Top 30.
In 79, Smokey were at number 30, then Thin Lizzy, followed by the likes of Chic and Rod Stewart. The Stranglers, Blondie and the Bee Gees were higher up, but Boney M were number one.
Right now, Never Say Die, that's the brand new one from Black Sabbath.
The last album I did with Sabbath was Never Say Die, and it was the worst piece of work that I've ever had anything to do with. I'm ashamed of that album. I think it was disgusting.
He puts everything he's got into it, doesn't he? That's Black Sabbath right there. John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John are going straight in at number 23 this week.
Ozzy's mum and dad smiling.
When his dad passed away, and it really, 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 really knocked the shit out of him. It nearly destroyed him. We were all devastated. We all loved Jack. It was Jack that had given us the crosses.
This is the original Sabbath class. My father made that when he was at work. And then when he come back with it, everyone in the band went with one. I made another. Bill Ward wore his right up to relatively recently. I always wanted a man-to-man conversation with my father, but I was too into drugs and alcohol before he died. I miss my father a lot, you know. But you know, I was young. I was riding in the fame game for a long time.
Oz was in absolute turmoil, and he put himself right inside the bottle, you know. He stayed there for a while. And so we got on with trying to make another record.
And we all came over to LA to do the album after Never Say Die. And Ozzy didn't turn up for 2 weeks. 2 weeks later, he just, like, rolls through the door, smashed out of his head. He'd beaten somebody up on the plane coming over from England, and the customs had arrested him for beating this person up. And by the time he got to the house, he was just, like, obliterated. And we started, like, rehearsing. And he just wouldn't sing on anything. That's shit. Oh, crap that is. And
Ozzy just wasn't into it. He really wasn't into it then. He was... most of the time, he'd be on the couch asleep, you know. He'd have done some quaaludes or whatever it might have been at that time. And he wasn't happy, I don't think. He was doing too much of everything, as we all were, but some people can handle it better than others, and he couldn't handle it.
The conversations began about the possibility of looking at another singer.
He just didn't want to be there. And we knew it was like either the whole band split or we get somebody else in.
It was me that actually says to him, you know, Oz, we're going to move on. We're going to move on without you. Broke my heart.
We all cried our eyes out for about a week when Ozzy'd gone. Because I swear to God, if he hadn't
if he hadn't have been fired from the band, he'd have been dead like within a month.
It was tough for Ozzy when he first got let go from Sabbath. He had no, very low self-esteem. He had no confidence whatsoever.
When I got fired from Sabbath, I didn't know what to do. I didn't know where to go. I thought it was the end of the dream. You know, I never ever dreamed that I would do it again on my own. I just thought this is it. So what money I had, I just got fucked up and bought drugs and stayed in an apartment for 3 months and got loaded.
You'd go in to Ozzy's room and he'd be curled up on the floor, covered in piss, beer bottles all around him, you know, drug paraphernalia everywhere. And what could be sadder, what could be lower than that? His dignity had well gone.
From the Ashes, Colin Newman, Ozzy's business manager.
Ozzy did feel very alone, lost and broke. Suddenly he was out of the band and, you know, would he get picked up and who was interested in him and was his career over?
For a guy like me who's got self-esteem issues, the idea of going solo was very, very scary.
I knew he had great talent and I just felt in my gut that he could make a huge comeback. It was then that I became his actual manager properly, and first thing, we had to find that band. We auditioned hundreds of guitar players. Literally, we would turn up at the rehearsal rooms and there would be lines around the block of musicians waiting to see Ozzy.
It was a bit of a slow process at first until I met someone who put me in touch with Randy Rhoads.
Randy had like a deepish voice for a little guy, wow, you know. So he goes into the studio, and I'm fucking sitting in the studio window thing, like that, like that, looking at him. I'm fucking zonked. And he goes, what do you want me to do? I said, play any fucking thing. He said, I have a solo. And he played his fucking solo, and I was like, am I that fucking stone, or am I hallucinating, or what the fuck is this?
Henry Rollins.
So he was very lucky to run into Randy Rhoads, and the guitar sound really reinvented Ozzy's voice. And he had a true writing partner and a friend, and they really clicked.
Robert Trujillo.
Everybody thought maybe he was going to be down and out because of what happened with Sabbath, and he just shocked the world. Especially with Randy Rhoads and the magnitude of what this guy was doing. I mean, here's this guy who's given Eddie Van Halen a run for his money, and everybody thought that Eddie Van Halen was the king.
I knew instinctively that he was something extra special. He was like a gift from God. And having that fucking thing, having a gift from a higher power, or I don't know what the fucking deal was, but this guy did something to me. And one thing that he gave to me was hope. He gave me a reason for carrying on.
Performance shots of the duo, 1980.
Blizzard of Oz, the first record was done in 6 weeks. It was just, you know, instantly blew up everywhere.
More on and off stage snaps of Ozzy with manic expressions.
He went right on tour through Europe with the band. then back into the studio 3 months later to do Diary of a Madman. Less than a year after being fired from Black Sabbath, Ozzy was a rock star again.
Dressed in a glittering cape, Ozzy makes a sensational entrance on stage. Flames leap upwards as he steps towards the mic. Having removed the cape, he now flings his jacket into the audience.
Diary of Mad Men tour was just massive. It was the loudest show I've ever been a part of.
Rudy Sarzo, bass player. Gripping the mic, Ozzy headbangs as a massive rendering of his name flickers and flashes above the stage.
That tour was just like a magical time. I think Randy and Ozzy gelled together like left and right hand. It was just amazing.
Their friendship was... It was just like two best mates hanging out, laughing, but yet that passion for music, I mean, everything was the albums that they were writing and the gigs and just music talk the whole time.
You know, Randy was able to achieve a lot in a very short period of time. And a lot of it was due to Ozzy's mentorship.
Randy, on behalf of the over 500,000 readers of Guitar Player magazine in the U.S. and in 70 countries throughout the world, I'd like to present you with the 1981 Best New Talent Award. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ozzy ruffles Randy's hair.
Give him a kiss, Ozzy.
I've got a lot of work to do, and makes you realize there's a lot of responsibility. And this tour, I want to really get myself together and work harder, you know, because I'm really proud and honored, and I don't want to stop here, you know.
Randy Rhoads, the 25-year-old lead guitarist for Ozzy Osbourne's group, was killed in a plane crash this morning, along with two other people, Andrew Acox, the pilot of the plane, also Rachel Youngblood, the group's hairdresser. Ozzy Osbourne himself was in the van when one of the plane's wings clipped it, but Ozzy escaped injury, we understand. 25-year-old Randy Rhoads is dead today.
The morning that Randy was killed, I'll never forget. I'll never forget we were there for so many hours because it took so long for the authorities to come down, the police and the fire department. We finally went to a nearby hotel, and I just couldn't stay in my room, so I went down. I went out on the street and I found a church right down the street. All I wanted to do is just sit there and just make some sense of what was going on. And I didn't even look up, and I'm sitting there, and I hear the sobbing and this crying, and I thought, wow, this person has got to be in more pain than I am. And I look up, and it's Ozzy sitting there.
The craziest day of my life was the day that Randy Rhoads died, you know. I mean, I couldn't believe that one. I mean, you've got to deal with that, you know. People tend to forget people in this business so quickly, you know. That guy was my brother, man. That guy was like a part of my life, you know. And he's dead. Why don't people start talking to me about the death of Randy Rhoads instead of asking me the craziest prank that I've ever done? That was the craziest prank that I've ever witnessed, was seeing that guy burn, you know. And the day that Randy Rhoads died, it was a day a part of me died, man. And Rachel Youngblood, my seamstress. They forget that, you know? It just gets kind of weird.
A clock on a wall reads 7:36 in a backstage dressing area. Melbourne, Australia. Dressed all in black and wearing sunglasses, Oz is slowly gearing up for a concert performance. He's glimpsed through a doorway standing at a urinal. Then he's checking himself in a mirror. He works out on an exercise bike before doing vocal warm-ups. He uses a mouth spray, then sits on a couch talking to a man with long dark hair.
It's Friday, Saturday, yeah?
Today is Saturday, yes.
I don't know what country I'm in half the time, I don't know what fucking time it is.
Tell me about it.
On stage.
It's the crowd!
Ozzy's lead guitarist launches into his solo. Ozzy soaks members of the crowd in water he hurls from a bucket. Later, Ozzy's climbing onto his tour bus at night. In daytime, a private jet sits waiting to receive passengers. The jet takes off with Ozzy and Sharon on board. Ozzy disembarking the aircraft to him reclining with his feet up. He's back on board a tour bus, which is travelling along a darkened road at night. A black and white photo of a younger Ozzy sitting in a dressing room.
After the Diary of a Madman tour, I went to Barbados with my family. My ex-wife told me on the plane coming back, I want a divorce. But, you know, it's very ugly for a while. My children still wanted their father, their dad, you know. And that's a fucking dreadful feeling that you have to go through. I remember going to my house one day, and Louis, my son, was a little kid, and he got me in, and I can remember him sticking his fingernails in, and tears were streaming down his face, and he says, "Daddy, please come home. We can work this out." That one incident tore my heart out. Tore my fucking heart out. It just fucked me up. I don't know anybody else, but it really devastated me.
Photos of Ozzy with Sharon.
Ozzy and I were friends. We worked together and that was it. But it wasn't until August of 1980 that we actually had a relationship going. We were at the first Shepparton. Night that we were actually together in Shepparton in 1980, and then the next day I thought, oh, well, you know, it just happened. Drunk, we were, you know, in the moment, it'll all be over. And each night after the show...
It happened again.
It happened again and again and again. And then we'd be... It was either we were in the pub, in bed, or on stage. That was it.
That's about it, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mark Weiss, photographer.
I didn't know they had a relationship or anything, and I'm shooting Ozzy in the bed, and then all of a sudden, Sharon goes under the covers. All of a sudden, Sharon's down there like she's doing the deed, you know, like, and Ozzy's just like freaking.
Ozzy and I got married in 1982 in Maui.
Wedding photos of the smiling couple.
And we wanted to start a family. That's why we got married. We both wanted our own family.
Photos of Ozzy and Sharon with their kids. Amy Osborne as a baby, Kelly Osborne as a toddler, and Jack Osborne at a similar age. The happy family montage concludes with a shot of Ozzy and a young Jack flipping the finger. Jack Osborne.
Dad was there for me when I was growing up. There were times, there were like chunks. There were, you know, but then again, there were loads of times where he, you know, he wasn't a great father and he wasn't, you know, there when I needed him, meaning, you know, the fact that he was messed up a lot of the time.
Well, when he was drunk, he was mostly tearful. And sometimes he'd get a bit angry and a bit like, I work hard, I should be able to do what I want. But mostly tearful.
I don't honestly think that Ozzy knew how to be a father. The drinking, you know, the huge success that was going on in his life, the turmoil of leaving one family and starting another family. He was just, you know, he was like treading water. And that caused the behavior to get even worse. So his pranks that he used to play would get bigger and larger and crazier, and his whole behavior on and off stage was over the top, and it was like insanity just going around and around and around, complete insanity.
Rock star Ozzy Osbourne, who is known for biting the heads off of bats at his concerts.
Osbourne was arrested for urinating on the Alamo. Reunion Arena was filled with the anticipation of a cat slaughter tonight. Rumor was that punk rocker Ozzy Osbourne was going to release hundreds of cats here and expected the audience to kill them before his appearance on stage.
The lyrics from one of his songs encouraged a young man to commit suicide.
His father claims John was listening to Ozzy Osbourne music at the time.
Gained a reputation for being rock and roll's definitive crazy person.
Well, I suppose you could say that.
Can we talk about you being crazy?
I'm not crazy.
In the 80s, I was the crazy guy in rock and roll. If you wanted me to do something, tell me not to. That was about the order of the fucking day. I was drunk and fucked up on a daily basis. So I mean, when you get drunk and fucked up, you hardly expect you to fucking tiptoe through the tulips or whatever the fuck. And when you're loaded, you do crazy things.
Photos documenting some of the antics from Ozzy's crazy years. He poses in women's clothing or naked and covered in foam. He grips a large bag of drugs between his teeth, sings on stage in his underpants, and holds a white dove with a menacing, sinister expression on his face.
It was the first time that Ozzy met the A&R staff, promotional staff, at CBS in Los Angeles. And, you know, Ozzy's deal was a cheap deal. They didn't want Ozzy. It was a favor that they signed Ozzy. It was just a favor. You know, 65 grand they paid for the album. So he wasn't on their high list of priorities. You know, they had fucking Michael Jackson. And it was like, okay, well, they've got to remember you. And so then we said, oh, the doves of peace, that'll be nice. You know, go in and let the birds go and then it'll be lovely. And, you know, they'll remember, maybe it'll shit on somebody's desk and that'll be funny, and then we leave.
She wanted me to go in there with two doves and peace offering, you know. She says, you blow this and we're completely fucked.
We go into the meeting and there's, you know, the big conference table, and there must have been, I don't know, 20, 30 people in there. And he sat there and he lets this bird go and everybody's, ooh, you know, magic trick, ooh, is that real?
I threw the one up in the air, sat on this girl's lap, snapped the other one in my mouth and bit his head up and There's a photo somewhere of me, of the actual event happening.
Photos of Ozzy biting the dove's head off.
He just picked it up and ripped its head off and spat it out on the girl. And she went absolutely fucking insane. They suddenly called the security and we were like yanked out of the conference room.
It was not a publicity stunt. I was just out of my fucking face on drugs and alcohol, you know.
What is the truth behind Ozzy biting head off a bat?
The bat started because of the dove. Kids kept hearing these stories, so they would bring him animals to the gigs, thinking that he would want to eat them.
And somebody threw a bat. And I, now, to find someone that goes to a concert with a bat in a real bat, you always get the joke ones, you know? You get, like, the rubber ones you buy from the corner joke shop. And I picked, I thought, oh, this will be good. Bit into this bat.
You bit it?
Believe me, if I'd known it was a real live bat, I would never have picked it up. But I tell you what, you know, the afterwards, the rabies shots, what I had to have, were horrendous.
It went out on the wire that Ozzy had bitten the head off a bat and had to have these rabies shots. And then suddenly, Ozzy is this larger-than-life character.
Tommy Lee, Motley Crue.
When we were on tour with Ozzy, we'd always have these crazy parties backstage. He would come onto our bus and say, I'm riding with you guys to the next city. And he'd fucking reach into his coat pocket or his pants and pull out. He'd pull out like two huge bags of cocaine. And he goes, oh, I've got bags of this shit. And we would fucking, all of us would go back to the back of the bus and we would fucking snort cocaine for fucking, you know, 10-hour bus rides. And we're walking into hotels like the Four Seasons or the Ritz-Carlton's where, like, you know, mom and dad, we're a happy family, we're out by the pool, and everybody's like their little resort. And here comes Motley Crue and Ozzy just fucking blasted. And it was like this who can outgross contest, which Nikki kind of started. And all of a sudden, we're sitting out by the pool having drinks, and Nikki pisses on the ground and goes to lick up his own piss to freak Ozzy out. Well, Ozzy beats him to the punch and starts licking up Nikki's piss. And we're like, oh, dude, fuck. This is fucked up. What is wrong with you two? And the hotel is freaking out. The security's kicking us out of the pool. This is like they're doing the outgrowth contest, snorting ants, fucking licking up each other's piss. And I'm like, oh, dude, let's just go to the fucking room. Let's just chill out. Come on. And the fucking right in it, fucking. And it's just going, like, I'm like, dude, please. I just fucking grab him, like, come on. Take him to the elevator. I find his room, put the key in. I'm like, okay, bud. I, like, push the door. I'm like, okay, bud, you're in your room. Okay, bye. He's like, no, fucking come here, mate. And I'm like, oh, fuck, I almost got out of here. And he pulls me into his room, pulls his pants down, and just shits on the fucking floor. A fucking big shit on the floor. And I'm like, I'm like, okay, dude, I gotta go. No, fucking, come. And he fucking drags me back in, and now he picks up the shit, and he's got it in his hands, and he's just smearing it all over the walls of his fucking hotel room. I'm like, dude, I gotta go. This is fucked up. And I remember turning around and I saw his back, and he was just painting with his shit on the walls, and I just fucking was like, now's my chance. And I fucking pinned it out of there, dude. I was like, this is on some other next level shit. Like, I'm not really ready to compete at this level. I'm cool with, you know, taking a shit in the toilet.
I think that Ozzy's behavior in the 80s, I think it's a fact of everything Ozzy had always lost, you know? He'd lost Sabbath, he lost his first wife, he lost his first kids, everything would come and go. So he was like fucking everything that fucking had a pulse, sniffing everything he could sniff, because he thought that it was all gonna end, so he was gonna go out with a, you know, on a high.
Ozzy's watching some of his old videos.
Free, free the silence. I hated this video. So fucking lame. Oh, I don't like it. It's fucking stupid. Everybody was fucked up and drunk and everything. Oh, well, look at the other room, what drugs I was addicted to at the fucking time. So next, come on.
He watches a video of himself performing on stage, playing to a large crowd.
It's a cliche fucking 80s video, that is. I can't remember doing this fucking thing. I was a mess in the eye. I was doing fucking morphine, Vicodin, fucking booze, or all kinds of shit. But I can't remember. I just cannot remember it at all. Never happened. Next!
Ozzy shakes his head when he sees himself in the next video, besuited and wearing a Stetson.
And that's the ultimate sin. Whose idea was it? How the fuck do I know? It's just boring to me. I don't, it's finding hard to go back there, you know. A lot of it, I don't want to go back there, you know.
Anyway, Ozzy gets up and leaves the room.
Where you guys? Go look at, walk around and fucking watch your shit.
Portland, Oregon. Ozzy raising his arms at the end of the number, to him sitting backstage, slowly breathing in air from an oxygen mask. Next, Ozzy seems dazed and addled as he attends a press conference. Helsinki, 1989.
Let's get on with this soon.
Yes.
What is Come on.
What does Elvis feel like tonight? You have a tour? Starting tomorrow. Is it always like this, or is this an exception?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, come it on! Is. Come on! Yeah. No, it's like, we 16 days ago we got over from Japan.
Mm-hmm. When Ozzy was drunk, he was fucked up beyond belief. I mean, to the point where he would drink until he couldn't drink anymore, where he would be unconscious. That's the only thing that would stop him drinking. He could be unconscious or asleep. He was blacking out. He was drinking and going unconscious on the floor. He couldn't move. His eyes would be open, but he would be, like, unconscious. It was weird.
I passed out with a bottle of fucking Vicodin or in my mouth.
Mainly, I was concerned about him, like, choking on his vomit, falling asleep when he was drunk and choking on his vomit.
Oz is looking at some photographs.
His mouth was stagnant, I'm fucking blasted.
Half unconscious in the picture, he's giving the finger to the camera.
I think it was in Memphis. Ozzy disappeared, and you know, he got found in the middle of a freeway. You know, he crossed over half of a freeway and stopped in the middle, and he was in the central reservation and he was sleeping, and he woke up and he had to get across the other half. I mean, how he didn't get knocked over, because he was absolutely shit-faced.
That's when a clock showed, I think.
I think so. We're always fucking fighting, Moonshine. That's when I smacked Sharon in the eye. For over what, I don't know.
It had been coming for a while. Ozzy was on a bender. You know, he was really on a roll. He'd been very bad for the last couple of weeks, and we'd had a couple of fights where we'd beaten each other, and, you know, it was nasty. But you kind of get the, you know, when anyone knows who lives with an addict, that there are times when it's worse than others. And it was just building to something. You could just feel it, the atmosphere between us. And, my God, it did. And I'd put the kids to bed, you know, we sat down, I was reading. And he came in, he'd been laying down. He'd actually drunk himself into one of those, you know, like, comazone things on the bed. He'd passed out and woke up, came downstairs, and I knew when he came in that he was, like, looking for trouble. And Ozzy is very rarely calm, very calm. And his eyes, the kind of shutter had gone down on his eyes. You couldn't really, you know. I had no idea who was sat across from me on the sofa, but it wasn't my husband. And then he just said that they've made a decision that I had to die. And I'm like, they? Yes, they've made the decision. We've made the decision. You're going to have to die. And then he just got up from the sofa and just dived on me and started to choke me. Fabulous.
All I remember was waking up in Amersham jail, and I asked the guy, the cop, why I was there. I said, excuse me, I said, why am I here? He says, you want me to read your charge? So he read, John Michael had been arrested for attempted murder of Sharon Osborne. I'm like, is this a joke? He says, no, I'm not joking. He says, you're going to court in a minute. That hit me like a fucking hammer between the eyes. It was like, I remember getting this dull feeling in my heart, which is like, I didn't know whether she was in hospital or what I'd done, you know.
Aston, Birmingham. Ozzy and Sharon are in the back of a taxi, looking out at the buildings they pass.
Oh, I know where we are. That's where we used to rehearse. That's where we used to rehearse, yeah. That's a pub I used to go to as well, over there. She just went down there, it's Witten Road. I used to walk all the way up here to go to Lucas Car Factory every day to go to work with my mum. Fucking hell. We just come up to Lodge Road now.
The taxi turns onto a residential street of terraced houses. A sign reads, Lodge Road.
Fucking hell, man. It's so small, it's unbelievable. I can't believe how small it is. Fucking Jesus Christ. When I was a kid, it used to be like the longest road in the world, you know. When you're a young kid and you got successful like I did, you get very arrogant and your ego runs the world. You think it's you, you know. But you forget your upbringing. It's like, took me till now to kind of realise that, you know.
Entering a house.
Wow.
Wow.
Oh, this is... wow, this is unbelievable. It's amazing. Wow. That was Mrs. Clark's shop I broke into. That was my bedroom up there. As my sisters would get older and get married, you were allowed to go in the back room, you have it to yourself. And this was about right here. I lived in here for a while and she's unbelievable.
Driving through Birmingham in the taxi once more. Ozzy's old school, Birchfield Primary.
I hated school. I fucking hated it.
I have dreadfully bad dyslexia. When I was at school, nobody knew what it was about, you know. When somebody goes, look, 1 + 1 = 2. And you look at them, you go, well, what the fuck does one mean?
I couldn't retain any information because my attention deficit was so bad. It still is. I mean, I go rambling on, you know. It's like I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. It's talk, you know.
I was very low on self-esteem.
I used to get picked on by bullies, but it just pushed me further inside myself.
From Ozzy standing with his arms folded outside the school to a photograph of a middle-aged couple, Ozzy's parents. A black and white photo of his mother as a younger woman standing with her own mum and a child. Then a shot of a long-haired Ozzy, his arms around his parents. Finally, Ozzy as a child. From the tiny terraced house on Lodge Road to Ozzy's house, Los Angeles, California. Billy Morrison, Ozzy's friend.
Where you came from,
yeah.
Did everyone drink?
Coming from the background that I come from, I thought that was what you do. You get successful, you get married, you have kids, and you get to the pub, you know. I mean, I used to think everybody, as they get older, gets fucking pissed. The first time I got drunk was about 14. I didn't stop. I drank it and I got the feeling and I drank till I pissed my pants in this fucking pub. And that's the way from the first drink, I didn't drink for the drink, I drank for the effect.
How many rehabs?
I've been in a bunch of, between detoxes and rehab, that's probably about 10 as well.
Ozzy tried to get sober, I would say between 40 to 50 times, but he had been in and out of rehabs about, I can think of 10 different rehabs he went to over the period of time.
You know, I used to go 90 days and I'd go, fuck this, it's crap, and go out and get fucked up again.
One minute be sitting here sober, the next minute you would see me fucked up, you know. He would disappear somewhere or he would go to the fridge and get a beer or he'd go for a walk up the drive to the pub.
I just knew the cycle. It would be like, my dad would go to treatment, he'd stay sober for maybe 60 days tops, and then he'd start messing around with pills, and then he would do that for a while, and then he would just go right to the drink, and then it would get really bad, then he'd go back to treatment.
I don't actually believe that he was ever fully sober. He was just drunk. He was just not a dad. He was drunk and he was fucked up all the time. I came home from school every single day to see him lying on a couch, drooling with a pill bottle on the floor, or a vodka bottle on the floor, or, you know, opening up the oven to make a cake with my friends to find that that's where my dad had hid the bottles of alcohol.
One thing about drugs and alcohol, they make you lie. You start lying and covering up your tracks and hiding things and fucking... I used to wait for the guy to drop my drugs off and I'd be like running in and out the fucking house all day long, you know, thinking that nobody would suspect I was like waiting for dope to be delivered, you know.
Crazy. The title sequence from the Osbournes TV show.
When the Osbournes first started, he was probably at his worst peak of drinking. I mean, like, pretty much going through the worst times.
That you pick up the fucking phone and call him. That was the worst thing I ever did, because then they're never off the phone.
Sometimes, you know, he'd be popping pills from numerous different disgusting doctors that would give him whatever he wanted, and I don't know, sometimes he'd be on downers, sometimes he'd be on uppers. So, like, that obviously will make anyone behave a little bit off and, you know, scary sometimes.
Why do we have 3 brown fingers?
3 because I put brown dye in my hair.
I think it was affecting, well, it was affecting his speech, it was affecting the way he walked, it was affecting the way he stirred, it was just everything. Part of his fame came from how he looked. People thought it was funny, thought it was cute.
The fuck's this shit?
This is not allowed. What's happened to him? Where did you get this fucking thing?
What they thought was funny was kind of sad because he was actually destroying himself and also destroying the family.
I mean, there was hours and hours of footage of stuff that just couldn't show. It was too real. You know, granted, yes, the Osbournes was not scripted, but people don't want to sit home on MTV and watch alcoholism tear apart a family.
When we first started filming the Osbournes, it was no secret my dad did drugs. He was an addict, but he was kind of a functioning addict. But when my mum was diagnosed with cancer, it very quickly... he was out of control. Out of control. He never came out of his room that we called the bunker. He couldn't stand up straight. He couldn't walk properly. He couldn't hear. He shook. He stuttered. I mean, everything that you could imagine. I mean, he was a zombie. I was taking drugs too during that time when my mom had cancer. I was using too. I got through that experience by hiding my emotions through using drugs.
I'll get you a bottle of water. Just sip on the water, Kelly.
I've got that interview on the phone.
And on the phone?
Yeah, she's holding on. I had to hang up because I was throwing up.
Let me get you a bottle of water.
Jack and Kelly started using and doing drugs and alcohol and whatever at a very early age.
Things start happening in my family. I mean, it was my son, Jack, who got sober first.
When I'd got sober, we were sat at a table and he's like, oh, I threw away all my pain medication the other day. And I was like, well, why did you have them in the first place? And this whole argument erupted, and he, and the one excuse my dad always went to when he was getting messed up was, you guys never needed for anything. You never, whatever you wanted, I gave you.
I said to him, what the fuck are you always pissed off with me for? You've never, ever wanted for a fucking thing from the moment you took your first breath. He went, oh, yeah? What about a father? And that hit me straight between the eyes like fucking David and Goliath, and he got that slingshot in him. He just knocked me on my ass, and I just, oh, fucking hell.
I honestly think that the turning point for Ozzy was Jack's sobriety. Jack learned how to deal with life sober, and I think it shamed Ozzy that he couldn't do it. He could never get it, and that's what was his big turning point in life.
A photo of a smiling Sharon and Ozzy.
That was the start of the journey of him being sober. You know, the evidence proves the fact because he hasn't drunk or abused for over 5 years now.
I'm clean, I'm sober, I don't smoke, I don't do drugs, I don't do alcohol anymore. Well, I haven't done for a long while, but I like being sober, I like being straight, I don't want to smoke tobacco anymore.
He blew us all away. I mean, none of us ever really thought that he'd maintain it for as long as he has now, and it really seems like he's come through the other side.
When you really let go, it's like somebody takes that chain off you, you know, and you just go, when you're involved in it, you don't realise how much hard work it is to be a fucking alcoholic. But it's when you get fed up with you behaving the way you do. I mean, sometimes I go, is this what it's all about? I want to get fucked up. But I don't.
His face is alive, and he stands up straight, and he walks tall and with confidence, and he's not ashamed of himself anymore. He has nothing to hide anymore, and he has nothing to lie about anymore, which makes him... I think he's really proud of himself. I think it's the first time he's proud of himself.
Do you like it? Being clean?
I like it, yeah. With a bit of time, you start to go, what did I ever think about that was fun? What was fucking fun about waking up in a police station on the back of a fucking police car? But I have a laugh now, I mean, naturally. Mm. I mean,
If I could sprinkle this on the fucking world, it'd be a much better place.
Photos of the clean and sober Ozzy with his family.
I spent 19 years of my life praying that I would wake up one day and have the father I have today. And most people can't turn around and say that that has happened for them. And it happened for me. And I'm so proud of him because I know how hard it is.
I think it's fucking fantastic. Our relationship's improved a lot over the last few years since he's been sober. I'm actually quite amazed at how fit he is and how more astute he is than he was.
He has changed a lot. He's lost a lot of weight. He's very health conscious. He works out nearly every day.
Ozzy's grown up. You know, it took him longer than most people, but he's got there. He's here. He works really hard for his sobriety, and he deserves it.
Sobriety's totally changed him as a person. You know, he just seems like he's a lot more at ease with himself. You know, whereas before he was just kind of all over the place. Well, now, you know, he'll just sit and with his headphones on quietly, just drawing.
Ozzy's adding some colour to one of his drawings.
It's not art. I do it for therapeutic reasons. I just find it stops my head of hand grenades going off, you know, because it's it slows my head down, you know. I've always worried. Sometimes I worry because I ain't got nothing to worry about, you know. It's how bad it is sometimes.
Ozzy looks through some examples of his drawings and paintings, which are colourful abstract compositions.
I don't go to bed at night thinking I shouldn't have painted that because people are going to get pissed off at me and they ain't going to buy another painting. It's just something, out of all this chaos and all this anxiety that I live in and all this fear, stops everything in its tracks and it's mine. And so when you ask me a question about it, I have no answer because I don't think of anything more than it's mine.
Ozzy unlocks the door of a large 4x4 and gets behind the wheel.
He really talked for years about wanting to have his driving licence and never thought he could do it, you know? And, well, he wouldn't have been able to do it in his drinking days, obviously. But since he became sober, he had talked about it quite a lot, about getting his driving licence.
Oz is driving along a tree-lined road.
I'm getting my licence so I don't feel like a fucking terminal prisoner, meaning that when everybody leaves the house, I'm stuck, you know? I can't go anywhere. I just want to... Oh, it's a way of feeling free, you know? Well, I'm dependent on everybody to drive me wherever I want to go. That's the reason why I want to get a driving licence right there. I'm not intoxicated. I don't want people to... I want a part of my life where I can say, I'm in the car, driving my car where I want to go. Not being sitting there going, having an argument with someone over some shit. I just want to get the freedom of being able to drive in with my head, you know. When I first got successful, right, I bought the guns, the fucking knives, the fucking archery sets, the motorcycles, all the things that I felt that was... I couldn't afford to have when I was younger, right? So I got all that out of my system. Now I've always really wanted to drive, but I've been too fucked up to get that back. So I'm fulfilling all the things that I wanted to do. I've had a one of a kind life, you know. I mean, I've had a lot of ups and downs in my life. But people say, if I could change any one thing, what would I change? I don't know. I think everything's there for a reason, you know. I mean, life's a learning process. I mean, I don't know what the fucking what the secret of life is. I don't know what the thing is. It's just been. I've had a good run, you know. I love my wife. I love my family. I love my. I'm beginning to love me a lot more than I ever used to. It's the first person you should always learn to love is yourself.
From Ozzy driving along the quiet Californian road to him exercising with a skipping rope. Then he's putting some time in on an exercise bike. He closes the door at the rear of his dressing room in Melbourne. Then he gets on his knees, bows his head with his hands clasped in front of him, and starts to pray. Ozzy at the mic in front of a huge and adoring crowd.
All aboard!
A sea of upraised hands. Ozzy stands on stage, slowly lifting his outstretched arms as he faces the audience. Slowly, he brings his hands together above his head, then holds the pose, his palms pushed together, fingers pointed upwards.